We're doing Pirkei Avos with Rabbeinu Yonah, and we're up to the first chapter, the 16th Mishnah. Rabban Gamliel Haya Omer. We're up to one of the later sages, Rabban Gamliel, a descendant of Hillel, one of the last princes, one of the last Nesi'im in the final century before the destruction of the temple. He used to say, Asei Lecha Rav. Notice the wording. Asei, make. Is he a rabbi or isn't he a rabbi? You make him a rabbi for you. So some commentaries are of the opinion that we're talking about a scenario where he wouldn't ideally be called a rabbi. But you don't have a choice. You don't have anyone better. Nonetheless, make him your rabbi. We'll extrapolate on that a little bit later. The Rabbeinu Yonah goes with that understanding, but so do other commentaries. We'll see in a minute. Vehistalek min hasafek. Get away from doubt. Very often people do things because they're uncertain. I'm not sure if I should do this, I shouldn't do this, so I'll be more stringent. It's not a way to live life. Get clarity. Do I have to or don't I have to? I'm not sure if I have to check the rice or not. So I'll pay double and I'll buy the rice that's pre-checked. Go ask your rabbi, do you have to check or not before you pay double? People get into all kinds of habits because they don't bother verifying, well, what's the halacha? So Rabbi Gamliel says, make for yourself a rebbe and distance yourself from doubt. Get clarity. Val tarbe la'aser umadot. And do not take your tithe frequently in a fashion that's approximate. Meaning you're supposed to take a tithe. Sometimes it's tempting to approximate. I know approximately how much I have, so I'll take approximately a tithe. Same concept. He says, don't do that often. Says Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabban Gamliel Omer, Asei Lecha Rav, Vehistalek Min HaSafek. Rabban Gamliel says, make for yourself a rabbi and distance yourself from doubt. Ritzono lomar. What he means to say is, Sheikabel chavero lerav, accept your friend. Technically, you could say he's almost your equal. Accept him as your Rebbe, afal pi shelo haya chacham yoter mimenu, even though you don't feel he ain't that much smarter than me. I don't know if he is smarter than me. Vafilu im lo sik chochma al chochmato. Even if I don't feel like he's smarter than me at all, kidei sheistalek min hasafek. But at least I have someone to ask. And if he comes with a bottom line conclusion, I'll go with it. It's very interesting. In the rabbinate, very often we have that. Sometimes you're faced with a question, and you see both sides of the coin. So you call your friend who's a rabbi in the next community, or 10 communities down, and you say, what do you say I do? And he, standing from the outside, tells you, do this. And you look back at him and you say, why is he smarter than I am? He isn't. But he's still telling me what to do. I'm going to listen to him. And we do this for one another. I mean, sometimes you're not sure. And it's good to have someone else who says, go right or go left. You think halacha is clear cut. Sometimes it's not so clear cut. You know, one issue that happens frequently. A person's a rav in a town. And people let their dogs go wild. We have them. You come to Kochav Yaakov, you see dogs running around with their teeth bare, and no one's watching them. So my kids are scared to go to shul in the morning. My kids are not so comfortable walking alone. Technically, halachically, it's wrong. You may not let a dog loose that scares people. Okay, am I supposed to start this fight? Because very often as a rabbi, you have the responsibility to say something. Sometimes if you're not going to get anywhere by saying it, all you'll do is get people upset and you won't accomplish anything, then don't say anything. There's no point in starting a fight. You're not going to win. And even if you're going to win, sometimes it's not worth the casualties. Okay, so now do you or don't you? Right? It's a tough question. You see the dogs, you see the problem, you see the danger. I mean, I know of a kid who the cutest thing. And the neighbor's dog got upset at him and ate off his whole face. And the kid today doesn't have a face. It's all plastered. He He went from being a cute, sweet kid to being a bunch of plastic surgeon work. I mean, there's a real danger out there. So what? You got to say something if you'll get somewhere. How do you decide? So there are sometimes situations where you see both sides of the halacha. It's just very hard to gauge. What am I supposed to do here? How do I get something positive out of this? Meaning, obviously, people have complained to the owner, and obviously the owner hasn't listened. To get a short-term fix that for 3 days he'll put his dog on a leash, and then 3 days later the dog's out again, you didn't accomplish anything. Okay? So very often, the halacha is not just a question of what's right, it's a question of what's going to be productive. So sometimes you look at a scenario and you have a hard time deciding. Where do I go from here?
If the dog's proven or known to be dangerous, then you do it.
No.
If it's a wild dog that scares kids who aren't used to dogs, that's not being a responsible, respectful neighbor. But that's a lot different than a dog that's been a stranger in the past or something. Then the person, I would think any responsible.
Either way, he's wrong. Either way, he's wrong. Now, halacha says you may not have a dog that scares people. Oh. It's halacha. Just like you're not allowed to have a ladder that's rickety that people can fall off of it. So too, you're not allowed to have that's caused you're posing a danger to society.
The norms of community where
it's not the norm. It's against the law. It's against ethics. In this country, it's against the law. The government and even the local municipality often writes, please don't do this. So the citizens don't want it. The government doesn't want it. And yet it's not being enforced. Now what?
So as a rabbi, you have to ask somebody who's not a rabbi in the community to push it. Say, listen, in my position, it's a little sensitive, but...
Okay. So I just want to give it as an example. Yeah. It's something that many rabbanim contend with. So... Rabbeinu Yonah, and he's not the only one, he learns sometimes, even if the other party is not smarter than you, you're equals. But it's to your benefit to have someone else making decisions. Sometimes you say, I don't know what to do, but it'll be good for me. Someone else should decide. So that's where he says, Asei l'charav, make for yourself a Rebbe, v'stelek min ha-safek, and run away from doubt. To live in a situation where I don't know, so I don't do, that's not good. U'v'yushalmi omer. And the Jerusalem Talmud says the following: Zil'aiti li zaken min ashuk diismoch alei ve'ishrilach. Go bring me an elder from the marketplace that I can rely on him, and then I can permit it for you. Shepamim achacham istapek bo rav einoy dam alomar. Sometimes even a chacham, even a rabbi, sits in front of a case and says, I don't know what to say. Im yatir v'shema wasu v'terat takala al yado. Sometimes a rabbi says, if I say permitted, well, maybe it's wrong, and then I'll cause the person to sin. And really, if there's room to permit it, and he says it's forbidden, so then he's causing someone to lose money. The Torah doesn't want a person to lose money. A guy comes to you and says, I did X, Y, and Z. Is it kosher? Is it not kosher? If you say it's not kosher, he lost money. That's it. He's got to throw out the food. And maybe there's room to permit it. That's why it's in your interest to say, I'm going to ask him my questions. I feel like we're equals. I'm still going to ask him my questions. V'yaseh ora al piv. And then you listen to him. Im hadavar hu pashut elav. If your friend says, no, to me it's clear it's like that. I can tell you have people in my community that way. There are rabbis in the community who are very learned, and on a Friday night they'll sometimes come knock on the door and say, you know, the child did this and this with the electric. Am I permitted to do such and such? And I'm a little embarrassed they're asking me because I don't think I know more than they do. And sometimes they'll even spread out the sides, the halachic opinions that they're contemplating before me. You know, Shulchan Aruch says this, Magen Avraham says that. Da, 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 da. Now what do we do? So if you know all that, why are you asking me, right? This is why they're asking. Because it's in a person's interest to have someone else tell him permitted or prohibited. Even if sometimes you feel like he's not even as smart as me. But if he feels that's the halacha, you rule like him. And this is what the geniuses of the earlier commentary said. We sometimes have situations in the Talmud where one rabbi says in Talmud, I don't know. The rabbi asks a question, is the halacha this way or that way? And then we bring a quote where one of his disciples said plainly and simply the halacha is one way. So we say, wait a second. The Rebbe wasn't sure, yet his disciple was. And the Gemara doesn't answer. The Gemara leaves it at that. What do we do in halacha? We say, well, if for the disciple it was clear one way, obviously he did find the proof that way, and the halacha is like the disciple. Even though his Rebbe technically was smarter, so what? The disciple learned, and you see, he did come to a conclusion, the halacha is like the one that has clarity. Even though his Rebbe said, I don't know which way to rule. Okay, but then how did the student decide? So we say, but bottom line, if he had clarity, he was on the level where he was entitled to give halachic ruling, this was his ruling, we rule like the student. We don't go with his teacher.
Even though we don't say the teacher was convinced or anything afterwards.
Yeah, but the Gemara does this a few times. That's our rule in the Gemara. There's a famous story, two great rabbis of the previous generation. One was the Brisker Rav, and the other one, I don't remember if it was, I think it was Rav Chaim of Volozhin and the Brisker Rav, that the Brisker Rav used to send him his questions, and Rav Chaim of Volozhin would answer him. So one time, the Brisker Rav asked him, please don't send me the reasoning for your answer. Because I asked you, because I trust that whatever you rule is right. But if you send me your reasoning, then I sit down and dissect it, and I say, well, on this, I could have said this way or that way. And on that, I could have said this way or that way. So I'm going to trust you, because I know you're a big rabbi, and whatever you say, I'm going to go by. But please don't give me the reasoning, just give me the bottom line. Yeah, you have to understand, you're talking about the Brisker Rav. But you're also talking about Rav Chaim of Volozhin, the Rebbe of Rav Kook. The posek who the Chafetz Chaim asked him his questions. You know, you're talking about someone very big. He was like the chief rabbi of Europe. Okay, but you see that the Brisker Rav still said, you know, don't give me the reasons. So, yeah, that's this idea. If I have a Rebbe, I ask him, fine, I go with him.